Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web, equip.org. Then you can talk live to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A friend of the ministry, someone who cares deeply about what we are doing at the Christian Research Institute, and through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world, has made a generous matching grant. And what this means is that he's giving us $50,000 as a matching grant, so that that $50,000 as you give can become $100,000, a statement amount of money that really makes a difference for our ministry outreaches. And his intent is to get people who are sitting on the sidelines to see this as an opportunity to give. And once they have given, that might become a habit. But give, and when they give, what they give becomes twice as much because of the matching grant. So this is focused on new donors, new members to the CRI support team. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. A great opportunity to give, and what you give is essentially a match so that it becomes double the amount of money. You can also give, as I mentioned, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants about this, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. Go right to the phone lines. First up is Diana, listening in Chicago, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a new listener. Also, thank you so much for your show. I'm really enjoying it. Just to give you a little background, I was born Catholic, and I, to be honest, ignorant Catholic because I never understood what it meant. But transitioning from Catholic to it's like a Christian/Jew belief where, you know, they're condemning, you know, saying the Pope is the Antichrist, and they believe both. From what my view, now that I'm doing more research, both, I believe, are based on works. So I was looking at scripture. Now, since, you know, I've been doing my research, I do understand how through grace and faith, works will eventually, you know, come out. It's not, you know, something that I do. It's something that Christ does through me. I understand that. But reading Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20, it always brings me back and forth. Like, okay, am I doing the right? Am I looking at it the right way? You know, is our works, you know, the commandments, you know, I understand it's still important, but I don't want to be legalist about it.
Yeah, well, you know what James says, what good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? And the answer to that rhetorical question is, of course not. We're saved by the kind of faith that produces good works. So we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. As far as the passage that you're alluding to, was that in Matthew again? Is that what you said? in the Sermon on the Mount?
Matthew 5, yeah, 17 through 20.
Yeah, that's where Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear. Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." What's really interesting about this is that Jesus goes on to say that anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus says this, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now that had to be a conundrum for everyone listening to him, because how could your righteousness surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Impossible. Simply can't happen. They tithed their mint and their cumin. They kept a complex code of laws, and they did that with great rigidity. How can you match that? How can you surpass that? And yet, Jesus is saying that's precisely what you are called to do. In fact, then he goes on to say, look, you've heard it said that if you commit murder, you're in trouble. But look, I'm telling you that if you have an angry thought, you're in danger of the fire of hell. He goes on and talks about adultery and divorce and oaths and an eye for an eye and having to love your enemies. And he paints a picture that no one can keep, because he has taken the Mosaic law and he's extended it to its logical conclusion. So again, his hearers had to scratch their heads and say, if that is so, then how can anyone be saved? Well, the response is, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So Jesus did what no one else could do. Jesus kept the law perfectly, and therefore we are the elect of God if we are found in the elect one. Whether we're Jew or Greek, whether male or female, whether we're slave or free, if we are in Christ, then we are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. We are clothed in the righteous robes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rather than standing in our filthy, unrighteous robes. So Jesus is pointing out that he is the only one who can fulfill the law and the prophets, and he does that. And if we're found in him, we are declared righteous in Christ.
Okay. I think I understand. Now, I know you have opinions over different teachers. Now, I just wanted to get your opinion quickly about Michael Rydenick.
I don't know about him off the top of my head, but you were mentioning earlier on teachers that are saying that the Roman Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon, and I think that this is absolutely unconscionable. I recognize that the Roman Catholic Church is a true church. It has significant error, but to say that it is the whore of Babylon is not only a misreading of Scripture, and that a gross misreading of Scripture, but it is something that no Christian should ever say. I am disgusted with people like Tim LaHaye and thousands of his followers that make this kind of statement, that say that Rome is not only a form of Babylonian mysticism, but one that has now infiltrated the Christian church, and saying that it is going to lead to a global idolatrous religion, and the invective just goes on and on. But again, this is a complete misreading of Scripture. The application of the historical principle of biblical interpretation demonstrates that in biblical history, only one nation is inextricably linked to the moniker harlot. And that is Israel. Anyone who has read through the Bible even once has flashbacks to the graphic images of apostate Israel, when they first encounter the great prostitute of Revelation, because from the Pentateuch to the prophets, the image is repeated endlessly. The most gut-wrenching, from my perspective, is the portrayal of Israel as a prostitute, as it's found in the book of Hosea. But the point is now to take this moniker and put this on the Roman Catholic Church is just insidious, particularly by people who are suggesting that there's going to be a temple in the millennium and Jesus Christ is going to preside over that temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices that atone for sin. That in itself, drawn to its logical conclusion, is a denial of the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. So it's a horrible thing when people misread Scripture and then throw out invectives against Roman Catholics in the way they do. I would certainly have an honest debate with a Roman Catholic on limbo or on purgatory or on the Immaculate Conception. But the fact of the matter is there are many fine Roman Catholics that hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
Very good, very good. Now, I have read that the woman in Revelation is Israel, but it seems to be two women. So I don't know if both women, I think it's chapter 17 and chapter 20, if both women Israel or is one woman Israel, the other woman Rome, the city of Rome.
Yeah, well, remember that the portrayal of Jerusalem as a prostitute, as you find it in Ezekiel, Ezekiel calls the prostitution of Jerusalem and saying that made that of her sisters Samaria and Sodom look insignificant by comparison. So the prostitute in Revelation is one way of referring to apostate or an Israel that has compromised herself with the beast in persecuting Christ and his church. Now, there's also another depiction of a woman in Revelation, and that depiction is not a depiction, obviously, of the prostitute, but rather of Israel in a different context.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. First-time caller. God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
My question is this. I talked to several people who try to convince me that that Jesus and Zeus has the same Greek transliteration, if you understand what I'm saying. They try to convince me that if you translate Jesus' name in Greek, it's the same as Zeus. Is that true, or I'm not educated on Greek yet, you know, so...
Well, no, it's not true. And look, I mean, this is kind of a mistake that people make in reading words and saying this sounds a lot like another word and therefore it means what that other word means. To give you the backdrop on this, the English Jesus is an anglicized transliteration of the Greek Iesos, and the spelling of the Greek name Zeus is simply different from the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Yeshua, which again in English is Jesus. The mistake, though, is a mistake of sounds, and this mistake is made over and over again, especially by apocalyptic sensationalists. So you have the word Russia. Well, a lot of people think that sounds a lot like the word Rosh in Ezekiel. And so when Ezekiel mentions the word Rosh, the imagination of end-time sensationalists, well, they just go wild. And so they now implicate Russia as a villain in a sensationalistic end-time scenario. What's interesting about this is the facts. Once you get to the cold, hard facts, what you find is that the word actually Russia has nothing to do with Rosh. It's an 11th century Viking word, and as such is not even semantically linked to the Hebrew word Rosh. But again, semantics has not only the potential to launch a war of words, but also has the power to implicate whole nations in a war to end all wars. Again, this is a semantical problem, and so we shouldn't say this is just semantics, because it has huge ramifications when you make these kinds of basic mistakes.
Right. So what you're saying is basically that out of ignorance or not understanding of Greek meanings, they take sound and they run with it. They're saying that.
Sure. Yeah, it sounds. It sounds very much alike, and because of that, they're reading some parallel into the words, as though one word, Rosh, has to do with Russia, or Zeus has to do with the Greek word for Jesus, but that simply is not the case.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. As you can tell by the music, we're coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Also remember that we need many of you to stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. Anything you can do prayerfully and financially would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory. You can give in a safe, secure fashion. Equip.org.
Did you know that 6 centuries before the birth of Christ, the prophet Daniel accurately predicted the rise and fall of Babylon, Media, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire? Master the tools of interpreting biblical prophecy and begin to understand how we know the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin with Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment.
Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. As a student of the Bible, you probably know that predictive prophecy is straightforward, that the prophet Micah directly predicted the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. But can you explain exactly how Christ's birth fulfills Isaiah's puzzling prophecy? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son? To apprehend this and other mysteries of Scripture, get your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by Hank Hanegraaff. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Bert listening in Longview, Texas, Bot Radio. Hi.
Hey, I had a two-part question. We have some friends that are teaching a Bible study up in the Northwest, and it is on restoration, and I may be wrong theologically, that's why I called you. I'm kind of deeply troubled. I'm looking at this, and they're dealing a lot with generational sins and spiritual root issues. And, you know, I don't know, as a born-again believer, I didn't, you know, to me, I can't serve two gods, and the Holy Spirit is within me now. And one of the things that they're I've gotten some of the literature, and, you know, they're essentially teaching that our generational sins are following us from the previous generations, and they're causing a lot of our problems, a lot of our illnesses, and that we're also being, attacked constantly by Satan. You know, they're using Ephesians 6:12 as the verse with spiritual root issues that are causing our illnesses, like my hypertension and my bad knee are essentially caused by spiritual root issues that, you know, Satan and his demons are dealing with against us, and I'm having a hard time, you know, coming to terms with this.
Well, good, because it's a false paradigm of spiritual warfare. So the notions that are being communicated are relieved once you get a proper understanding of spiritual warfare, as they're communicated to us by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. In fact, I wrote a whole book about this called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect Us from Evil. If you put on the full armor of God, you're guaranteed to be invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So you learn to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against principalities and powers of darkness. But one thing that we can say for certain is that if you are, in fact, a child of the King himself indwells you, and your temple will never be shared with a demon.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was talking to this with my wife, and you know, I was. That's what I was saying, is that you can't, you know, you really can't serve two gods if Jesus Christ is within you.
Yeah, if Jesus Christ is within you, then greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I mean, people are in one of two categories. They're either those who are aligned with the principalities and powers of darkness, or those who are children of the light. And when you're a child of the light, you have the engrafted life of Jesus Christ within you. So all of the sensationalism about demon-possessed Christians or generational curses are simply false. They're misreadings of Scripture. Scripture clearly communicates that the consequences, not the curses, are passed on through the generations. And I think in that sense, the Bible says that children are punished for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. You know, the child of an alcoholic father suffers neglect and abuse as a direct consequence of their father's sinful behavior. Or descendants of those who hate God are likely to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers. But this has nothing whatsoever to do with generational curses being passed down from one to another. But yeah, I mean, this is unfortunately something that has been spread by teachers like Neil Anderson, who claims to have firsthand knowledge that our churches have been infiltrated, that there are breeders out there, that they've encountered people who are doctors and lawyers and pastors who are Satanists, that Satan has inflicted terror on Anderson himself by biting him and then leaving marks on his hand and scrawling a message on his bathroom window. And evil spirits attach themselves to spaces and furnishings of a home, or that spirits have sexual relations with human beings. They're called the incubi and the succubi. And he says it's not only valid, but an experience common enough to be included in the first of his steps to freedom as possible sins to be renounced. And there's been all kinds of derivations of his work in, unfortunately, people being biblically illiterate buy into the skin of the truth stuff with a great big lie.
I guess I'm concerned. You know, these folks are, you know, essentially our friends, and I'm concerned about what Paul says in the Scriptures about false teaching, and I'm concerned about essentially what Jesus says about false teaching. I don't know what would you recommend on how to approach these people?
Well, I think what you want to do is you want to learn discernment skills and teach those discernment skills to your family. But in terms of how you approach other people, you want to approach them with gentleness and with respect, point out their error. You know, use every opportunity to be a witness, to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you will recognize it instantaneously. And then, again, with gentleness and with respect, you take the error and you supplant error with truth. Now, sometimes people don't want to listen to what you have to say, so you can testify by your love and by your life. But if God does open up the opportunity, you need to be equipped to be ready to give an answer.
Well, thank you. I mean, when I heard this, I immediately realized that this is not the truth that I have read in the Bible. And so, you know, it may be a little harder with my family to convince them of this. What is the name of that book that you wrote?
I wrote the book called The Covering, okay. God's Plan to Protect Us from Evil.
I'm going to have to get that. Thank you so much for your time.
You got it. And the systemic problem is pop culture beckons. Postmodern Christians take the bait. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ron, he's listening in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, thanks for taking the call. Just started listening to your show, and I thank you again for the ministry you have, and I really appreciate it. I'm learning a lot, and it's gotten me doing a lot of research on my own to understand the Scriptures.
Oh, wonderful.
But one thing I have been just working on in my head and trying to understand and look at the Scriptures is it deals with salvation. And I've heard you talk about some of the ministers out there and the preachers and the pastors that have interpreted Scriptures in one way, from what I hear from your show, that's in some instances a gross misinterpretation of what the Scriptures say. And then the other point I want to make is even some of the people I deal with that claim Christ, that trust in the Lord, that they have verbally said they trust in the Lord, but yet many of their views and cultural positions seem to me to be in direct contradiction of what the Scriptures say. So I guess my question, Hank, is how as a brother in Christ to these folks, the pastors that may be misinterpreting Scripture, since we're all imperfect, we'll never be perfect, we'll never have full understanding, will they be in, and I know this is just, I just want to hear your thoughts on it, am I to assume that these folks, people will be in heaven with me, but they'll be held accountable for their conduct and their actions and what they've done. But at the end of the day, it's about rewards, not about in heaven or not. Is that a correct way of saying that?
Well, a couple of things. One is there's no foundation that you can lay other than Jesus Christ. On that foundation, you can build using gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And the day of the Lord will reveal what you were building with. So we are saved by God's grace alone. If someone wants to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then what they do is they become ever more familiar with the principles and precepts of the kingdom. It's not the absence of truth that damns, but it is the despising of truth that damns. And there are false prophets who despise truth. And these false teachers, when they are compromising, confusing, or outright contradicting essential Christian doctrine, they should be called out, because what they're doing is they're disseminating spiritual cyanide. And Paul did that very thing. He said, even from your own numbers, men will arise, distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. Now, ultimately, we can't judge people, but we can judge with a right judgment, not self-righteousness, but by looking at the person and what they represent, we can get an indication of who they belong to. And this is what we're told throughout the Scripture. What someone does in their worldview identifies them in terms of who they belong to. Jesus himself said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. And then he said, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. He gives some classic illustrations when he says, are people going to pick grapes from a thorn bush or a fig from a thistle? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree simply cannot bear good fruit. Every tree, Jesus says, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And then the horrifying statement that follows, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many are going to say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. And then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now think about this for a moment. Jesus could have been talking about Judas here. He's in the inner circle, but he loved all of the benefits that Christ could bring, because Christ was a means to his end. Christ was not the end. And so he was not a true follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right, and that makes a lot of sense to me. I understand that, and so I guess then, how do you? And I think a lot of what you said, I guess a lot speaks to some of the preachers that preach certain things that are just in direct conflict. Would you say that applies also to people that are probably your church, my church, that just have a different view on abortion or a different view on homosexuality, and they think it's fine to marry that?
Well, again, the whole point is, do you want to be a participant in the kingdom? If you want to be a participant in the kingdom, if you believe that Jesus is Lord of all, then you follow his precepts and his principles. And as you learn that he has set parameters around our lives, you seek to live within those parameters because he is your Lord and Savior. If you don't live within those parameters, then you either don't understand them or you think that you know better than the Lord. And if you think you know better than the Lord, then you're not a participant in the kingdom at all. You have a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. Going to have to leave it at that because we are up against a hard break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You probably know that predictive prophecy in the Bible is straightforward, that the prophet Isaiah directly predicted the destruction of the ancient Phoenician port of Tyre. But can you explain how the prophesied abomination of desolation by which the temple was desecrated in 167 BC and destroyed in AD 70 reveals the divine inspiration of the Bible? To apprehend this and other mysteries of Scripture, get your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by Hank Hanegraaff. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Other topics include evaluating the Star Wars worldview, organ transplantation and human value, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions. And the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common, but according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. For hundreds of years, prophecy pundits, with their incurable compulsion to set dates and timetables about end-time events, have been wrong 100% of the time. Yet these blind guides continue to lead multitudes of Christians astray with their prognostications. That's why Hank Hanegraaff produced the book Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, which offers the tools you need to interpret biblical prophecy correctly and avoid the dangers and silliness of doomsday hysteria. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
bibleanswerman.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ryan listening in Grand Island, New England. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
Doing good. How are you?
I just had a question. I hear you talk a lot about that we need to understand how to read the scriptures rightly. So I have an honest question. It's something that I've wrestled with at times, but do you suggest that I stop reading the Bible until I understand how to rightly read it and interpret it and things like that?
No, I don't think you should ever stop reading the Bible, but I do think that it is incumbent upon every believer to get a true valuation of things, to seek after light, and that is you want to know what you are reading. Now, one of the things that's interesting about the Bible is that there are main and plain things. The main and plain things are so simple that a child can understand them. But there are many secondary issues so complex that we can all drown in them. And I think that's why, as Christians, we want to be committed to the art and science of biblical interpretation. Why wouldn't you be? If you want to be involved in any discipline, and what could be more important than knowing God's Word, interacting with the mind of God properly, if you want to know that, the principles are available for all of us, and they're principles that the more you use them, the better you get at it. So, again, don't stop reading the Bible, but learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. You think about this historically, it's pretty interesting, because there was a time in which Bibles were not available. Up until about the time of the invention of movable type, I mean, the only thing you had is Wycliffe's partial translations of the Bible. But then you had William Tyndale, who was an Oxford-Cambridge scholar, who like Wycliffe, purposed to make the Bible available so that the commoner could have that Bible and understand it. He wanted the Bible to be as accessible to a boy who drives the plow as the scripture was available to the Pope. Well, as a result of this, there was a lot of debate because people thought that those who did not read the Bible properly would distort the meaning of the Bible, and that would unloose a floodgate of iniquity. The reformers said, yeah, but there's an antidote to that, and that antidote is the analogy of faith. This is the primary principle in the art and science of biblical interpretation. The imperative was to interpret the cloudy in view of that which was clear, the implicit in view of that which was explicit. If you want to understand the parts of Scripture, you have to understand the whole of Scripture. If you want to understand the whole of Scripture, you have to understand its individual parts. And this is an endeavor for a lifetime. The real issue comes down to people taking the main and plain things and distorting them. For example, the deity of Christ. When the Scripture is talking about the deity of Christ, that should be very, very clear because it's stated so succinctly that you can't miss it.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, cool. Nice talking to you. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Ron. He's listening in Tennessee, WCRV. Hi, Ron.
Yeah. How are you and yours, first of all?
Well, we're doing fine. Thank you for asking. That's kind of you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And thank you for taking my call. Recently, someone showed me a book called Jesus in India by the author Holger Kirsten. And I read in there, and I followed up reading, you know, research on the internet, some of what he was saying. And what he was saying was that Jesus somehow survived the crucifixion, which to me that was a neat trick because that Roman spear would go all the way through your chest. And I wondered if that was the case, how he survived a double pneumothorax and having both lower ventricles of his heart pierced. And then he said Jesus lived 120 years. He came to India. He married, lived 120 years, and his next statement was, and most people at that time lived to be 120 years. And I spent most of my lifetime in medicine, and from what I can record all the way back, people at that day and time did well to live past 40 years of age. That's on the whole. I guess the Judeans probably lived longer because of their diet and their sanitation code. But to me, this guy was totally out in left field, and I've been trying to find out who Holger Kirsten is. And I'm wondering, do you know anything about him?
Well, just that he's a sensationalist and a sophist. What you have said is right on target. The evidence for human life expectancy is, as you have correctly pointed out, and the Bible has said in general that man's life is 70 years, or if by reason of strength, 80, a score being 20 years, so it's 70 or 80 years on average. And the Bible nowhere says that it's 120 years. That's a misunderstanding of a passage in Peter. But the whole idea that Jesus survived crucifixion is bankrupt because, as you point out, a Roman legionnaire drove his spear through the fifth interspace between Christ's ribs, upward through the pericardium, into Christ's heart. And you see from John writing in the first century that water and blood rushed forth, demonstrating conclusively that Jesus had suffered fatal torment. And believing that he merely swooned has to stretch credulity beyond the breaking point, because it means that he survived not only that, but 6 trials, a lack of sleep, the scourge, being spiked to a cross, and then supposedly single-handedly rolled away an enormously heavy tombstone, subdued an armed guard, strolled around on pierced feet, and then seduced his disciples into communicating the myth that he'd conquered death while he lives out the remainder of a pathetic life in obscurity. It simply doesn't make any sense. So this idea that this Holger Kirsten has is completely bankrupt, and it's actually taken from other ideas. Back in 1929, there was a guy named D.H. Lawrence, and he fantasized that after surviving crucifixion, Jesus ended up in Egypt. He fell in love with the priestess Isis, and then Donovan Joyce comes along in 1972, I think it was, and publishes the Jesus Scroll. And in her rendition of the story, Jesus was apparently revived by a doctor who had been planted in the tomb ahead of time. And the story goes on from there. In 1992, there was a woman named Barbara Thiering, and she produced an even more outrageous version of the swoon theory. Jesus imbibes snake poison, fakes his death, recovers, marries Mary Magdalene, and later falls in love with Lydia at Philippi. So those stories go on and on, but they're ad hoc. There's no evidence whatsoever that Jesus was ever even in India. And certainly there's no evidence that he survived his crucifixion. If there's one thing that both secular scholars and sacred scholars are in unison on today, is that Jesus suffered fatal torment, that the tomb was empty. Christianity simply cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ, that Jesus appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and that scared, scattered disciples were utterly transformed by his post-resurrection appearances. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ricky in Belmont, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ricky.
Yes, thanks. How are you? Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thank you for your ministry and for taking my question. Me and the wife have recently come to Christ and been baptized and all that, and unfortunately, it seems like we've got a disagreement going between us about the Jesus' teaching about a man marrying a divorced woman. Now, she's reading the New Way Bible, and I'm reading the New King James Version.
Did you marry her when she was divorced?
No. Yeah, where he says that you're committing adultery if you marry a woman that's been divorced?
Yes, yes, but I'm asking you, is this a personal question in that your wife was divorced and you're married now, or?
Yes, yes, my wife was divorced and I was divorced before we got married.
Yeah, well, let me give you a quick answer and then we can get into the details, but you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, so don't even think about that. What you have to do is forget what is past and press on. You can't rewrite history. What's done is done. The ultimate that Scripture is always pointing to is that as a Christian, we always want to work towards reconciliation, but if the door to reconciliation has been irrevocably closed, then you can't work towards that reconciliation. For example, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're married to an unbeliever, and the unbeliever wants to stay in that relationship, then you should not get a divorce. But if the unbeliever leaves, you're not bound in that circumstance. In other words, you are free, you know, given the right criteria for marrying another person, you're free to marry another person. But the point of Jesus' teachings is that we should not seek a divorce. We should seek reconciliation. So as long as the door is open for reconciliation, we want to try to work towards that end. And working towards that end means that we are willing to forgive. Obviously, reconciliation takes two parties, someone that's willing to forgive and someone that's wanting to be forgiven. Without both parties, reconciliation can't take place. But in your particular situation, you can't go backwards. You can only go forward, and the grace of Christ is sufficient. In fact, he can use even the years that the locusts have eaten, your past failures, for his good, for his grace, and for his glory. That's why the Bible, in the famed passage, says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your time, and you have a good evening, Hank.
You got it. Best to your wife. And thank you so much for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, or contact information as we close out the broadcast on the web, again, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do you remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter.
Thank you for joining us today. There is no doubt that rightly interpreting Scripture is key to rightly communicating biblical truth. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to provide serious Christians with powerful and practical tools such as the book Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy to help them be increasingly fruitful witnesses for Christ. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI.
888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.